Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning. That means Miles Reed, editor of the Daily Gazette, joins us. Good morning, Miles.
Good morning, David.
Well, let's start with what was a bank robbery yesterday. This occurred in North Greenbush. The suspects have fled to Albany, but a teller was wounded, and the police are still investigating.
We cover bank robberies, unfortunately, you know, fairly regularly, and usually there's it's a fairly regular standard procedure, and guns aren't drawn. But in this case, two suspects entered the bank. It was an M&T bank over on North Greenbush Road. They were both masked and armed. They asked for cash, and the tellers complied just like they're instructed to do. And then where it really took a turn and elevated in this case is they opened fire. One of the suspects opened fire as they were leaving the bank. And very fortunately, nobody was directly hit, but a teller was hit in an arm and apparently grazed, had some minor injuries. And a second individual in the bank was also injured. We don't know how. But so very fortunately, nobody was injured too badly. And the spokeswoman for the bank said that the whole community is deeply relieved that nobody was hurt, including customers, of course. But so from there, the case even got crazier in that authorities chased them and tracked them to this hotel, a Motel 6 over in Albany on Waterbury Avenue Extension. And there was this huge presence, like a movie scene. And eventually they were able to get suspects out of a room. There were at least two suspects taken into custody, the two individuals that they believe were responsible for the robbery. And there were some others also in the room, too, that were taken into custody. We don't know the extent of charges about who was involved, but they put an end to the case in the early afternoon. But again, it was some tense moments and there was a lot of commotion.
We'll see what follow-up is done and bring you that news when it comes in. We turn now to something we've been following for a while and has affected a number of communities in our region, including in Hoosick Falls, New York, up in Southern Vermont, also as well as Newburgh, New York, in the Hudson Valley. And now there's a lawsuit by New York State over PFOA contamination at local sites in the Capital Region.
Yeah, so our reporter Steve Williams has a story that the state actually filed lawsuit earlier this month in Supreme Court in Albany County against the manufacturers of this firefighting foam that we've written so much about. And so in this lawsuit, they're filing against the 3M company and a bunch of other manufacturers. Most interesting in this lawsuit is it reveals for the first time a number of unpublicized contamination sites with this PFOA and PFOS chemical compounds that have caused so many concerns, as you mentioned, in Rensselaer County. So what they're identifying in this lawsuit by the state is saying that due to this foam, there's been groundwater and also soil contamination at a number of sites in the Capital Region, including the Momentiv plant in Waterford, which makes silicones, used to be owned by GE, now operated by Momentiv. Also at the SI Group plant in Rotterdam Junction in Schenectady County, where they're saying there's groundwater contamination and soil contamination. And then a couple of other locations in Rensselaer County. What they're contending is that the 3M company and a couple of other companies, including the Tyco Fire Products and ChemGuard, et cetera, that they knowingly kept selling these firefighting foams well past the point that they knew that they would potentially cause some kind of adverse health effects. And so they're seeking compensation for all the investigation and remediation at these sites, and it's 12 overall statewide. For their part, 3M, I know, has said that they're going to vigorously defend this, and a couple of the other companies, Tyco, ChemGuard, they're hoping to sort of lump a whole bunch of these lawsuits that are starting to emerge into one, and so we'll see where that goes. But really, the concern here is that as the spotlight's been turned on the water contamination in Hoosick Falls and some of the health problems there with, they believe that these PFOAs can cause kidney damage, testicular cancers, all kinds of other health-related conditions. So the concern is that with the contamination at these other locations, what other kind of concerns they would have for health in those locations. So we'll go forward and we'll keep following this, but this is the first time we found out about these other locations, and it will begin to be interesting to see how bad that contamination really is.
Now, finally, to a story with the headline, City Afoul of Trump Steel Regulation. What's that about?
our reporter Jason Subic has this quirky story out of Amsterdam where the city government there is in a position that they're going to have to pay $62,000 to the federal government over the use of some steel, but some non-U.S. steel in a project that they did to replace and to repair some sewer plant pipes back in 2017. So this stemmed from a really large-scale sewer leak at the Eastside pump station, where they were pumping millions of gallons of raw sewage into the Mohawk River. And as an emergency effort, they got working on this project before they actually obtained a $600,000 loan from the state that they would need to pay for it. And as they proceeded, they used some parts in terms of steel and iron that were not U.S. Made. And this is in violation of a 2017 President Trump administrative order that mandates that the steel made in America has to be used for anything having to do with a federally financed project. So the mayor in Amsterdam, Mike Villa, says, you know, at the time, their main concern was to push forward as quickly as possible to stop this leak and get the work going. He said at some point he became aware that the work was not going to be compliant with this federal order, but obviously they pushed forward. So now they're in a situation that the state, which administers this grant money to some municipalities, has said they're not going to get a waiver, that they have to either pay the $62,000 back to the federal government, or they'd have to potentially repay the entire $600,000 in loan money. So they're going to go ahead and actually do some of this work. They'll pay the $62,000 fine, but then in addition, they'll actually go back in that system and replace and remove and replace any of the non-U.S. steel and iron. And the big concern that the mayor has is not just the $62,000 penalty. His concern is that when they get back in there, that they might potentially damage other parts that are connected because it's a fairly extensive project. So he said unfortunately, any kind of potentially damage they do to other parts of the repair, they're going to be on the hook for. But he said, of course, they've got a plan. They're confident that it's going to work. But he points out that anytime you get these big projects, it seems like they're a lot more complicated than they'd originally hoped. So it's a little bit of a local impact to that administrative order, and they're not happy with it. But he said this is a reality with their 100-year-old sewer system and water system that they're going to just be constantly having to deal with these breaks. Right now, they've spent about $10 million doing these repairs in the last couple of years, and there's no end in sight.
Miles Reed, editor of the Daily Gazette, joins us on Wednesdays. For more, head to dailygazette.com or pick up a copy of the paper. Miles, thank you.
Take care, David.